It's a great joy to have missionary Billy Allardyce and his wife Sophie with us in the service this morning and then this afternoon again. Faithful people that love the Lord. Sophie was birthed and reared in France. She speaks perfect French. Billy was born and reared in America. He speaks perfect English. And between the two of them, they make a tremendous missionary couple pair in ministry for the Lord. They've ministered in very difficult places. I think you're not going to understand this. If you ask Brother Allardyce how many people have been saved under your ministry, it would be more now since the last number of years. But I would say not many. If you had asked how many people have received the gospel because of his ministry, it's in the hundreds of thousands. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? This man has planted more gospel seed in the hearts and minds of men than almost any other person I know. Faithfully serving the Lord, and especially the earlier years of his ministry, in a very, very difficult place, serving faithfully. And so God has moved him on now, and tell us about it.
Morning. I just want to start out by saying that this looks like the old prayer card, but it's the new prayer card. Okay, the address changed. So if you have one that looks like this already, there's a new one in the back, and the address changed. Okay, because if you come to visit us at the old address, we won't be there. Okay, so please take the new prayer card. I thought I'd just start out by giving a little history, because we have a long history with Hamilton Square Baptist Church, okay? But I would like to read first in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so he sends us forth, and he's talking to all of us. Go ye into all the world. But when we're in San Francisco, we're part of the world. If we're in Utah or New York, it's part of the world. France is part of the world. We're all going. Some of us go farther. Some of us stay closer. But as Christians, we're all supposed to be serving the Lord. And so that's what brought me to San Francisco, was the desire to serve the Lord. And then, that, by the way, that was in July of 1981. And then I started seminary here. And Sophie came in the fall of 1982. And we met, and we ended up going to France and got married in July of 1983 with the desire to go down the street, you know, the street, that Interstate 80, and start a church at Davis, which is where I'm from. And that just wasn't the Lord's plan, and I'm not going to tell the whole story. But after I graduated from the seminary here at Hamilton Square, then the church commissioned us, and I don't know if you have lots of commissioning services. Usually that's a special preaching service where in the end, you know, the deacons and the members of the church that can gather, want to gather around and lay their hands on the person they're going to send out as missionary, or they're going to have call as a pastor, whatever. And so that happened back in 1985, I think it's springtime. We went on deputation, going around to the different churches. We had to find them, you know, and some wanted us to come, some didn't. But Lord opened the door so that we finally arrived in France in January of 1988 with two babies. That was in Metz. And then, by the way, the brother that met us at the train station, he preached for our exchange culturel, our cultural exchange, in this last July. Okay? And we worked there in Metz with Brother Mumford, who was a missionary from Hamilton Square, for 2 years. Then we went off to Argentan, and we had a small sub-ministry at Flair for 13 years. Then we moved on to Limay, Mont-la-Jolie, and we had a ministry with another missionary at Versailles. So we usually worked in two places at once. And then, I don't know what year it was, but a few years ago we moved to Limoges. Must have been about 10 now, 8 or 10. And while we were at Limoges, we also worked at a town called Brive. And after 5 years, we left Limoges, and now we work at Brive. But since we always work in more than one place, so we're at Brive, but we're also working at Eugene, which is where our son Etienne lives, and another town called Périgueux. So we kind of try to keep our hands in lots of pies, okay? And we'll be talking about those things. I'm going to show slides at the end, but I thought I'd talk about everything quickly, and then that way I don't go slowly through the slides, okay? It's Thanksgiving coming up here, and so I thought I'd mention a couple of things for which we are really thankful to the Lord. First thing is that the Lord has provided for our ministry, His work, our lives throughout all these years. He sent our four boys to college. They all ended up with no debt. It was just, nothing that we'd planned on. So we praise the Lord for that. And we also want to thank you for standing behind us. You know, you're our ascending church. So if you say, Brother Allardyce, come on home, then we come on home because you're the sending church. Okay, pastor says he's not going to do that. But we are your missionaries, so we want to thank you for standing behind us. We want to thank you for your continued interest, for your prayer, for your support. Just want you to know we really appreciate you. We don't know you. That's why some of you we don't know at all. And so that's why I'm taking the time to explain a little bit who we are. So our first son was born a little farther down the street here at the hospital. His name is Guillaume, and he actually came and spent a little time here at Hamilton Square one summer. And he's married, has three children. Well, I almost gave him an extra one there. Three children. He's working for the military. He's at McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey. And we have two boys down at San Diego. So Philippe, who you've probably seen from time to time, he and his family are down there. And he's got three children, just like Guillaume has three children. And little baby Amelia was just born about 5 weeks ago. So they've got three children. And also we have Benjamin and his wife Christina down in San Diego. And so they just got married in January. And finally we have one son who lives in France. His name is Etienne. And he just got married in August to Christiana. So we have a Christina, a Christiana. We have a niece called Krista. There's a lot of, names that are similar. Anyway, that gives a little bit background on the kids, who are all adults now. Someone said we're empty nesters. Yeah, we've been empty nesters for quite a while now. About the ministry, it's true. France is a difficult country, and that's one of the reasons why Etienne, the one who just got married in August, had a hard time finding a wife. Because, like one of the rabbis I met many years ago, he said, well, Mr. Allardyce, if you have converts, who are they going to marry? Well, they'll marry the other converts. Well, there aren't that many converts. That's a problem. And so it took a long time before my one son, who has stayed in France, to find a Christian lady to marry. And it's not only his problem, it's the problem for every Christian man and every Christian young lady in France to, they're all over France, but how to find one another, it's very difficult. So overall, as our ministry is concerned, I think it's going well. I think that's the only time I've ever said that, Pastor. Over the years, it's been really tough, difficult, but really at this time, things seem to be going really well. We've even had a few visitors recently. We even had the church full three times. Now, it's not a big church like this. The whole church is not any bigger than this. In fact, that's bigger than the church. But you'll see in the pictures, we changed the door, which made it, with the fire marshal and everything, that we could go from 17, which was the old maximum, to 38, which is the new maximum. Okay? And we were over 30 a couple of times. There were visitors and stuff. But still, that makes you feel good when you see the church is full. Especially in France. We've also had three young people who recently joined our church, and they specifically came because they want to help evangelize. Three French young people. And they want to help evangelize, so that's why they're there. And so we go out usually two times a week, sometimes three times a week, and just talk to folks on the street. And what's interesting is it's kind of like the pendulum has swung. Because in the past, it was so hard to talk to people. And this last year or so, we're finding it really, I don't want to say easy, but really effective to talk to people on the street. And I think we can kind of break it into generations. You have the grandparents and great-grandparents who are anti-Catholic. And so those people are still anti-Catholic and anti-religious. Then you have the parents who are the children of the, you know, of those anti-Catholic people. And they're basically atheists, and they're not interested at all. But then you have this new generation. And this new generation, with their anti-Catholic grandparents and their atheistic parents, they don't know anything. And so when we talk to folks, especially the young folks, and we say, well, you know, I'm not saying how we'd say it, but, you know, if you were to ask someone if you die today, do you know if you go to heaven? They don't know anything. Has anyone ever shared the gospel with you? No, I've never heard of the gospel. Well, could I share it with you? Sure, I'd like to hear it. I mean, nobody would say that in the past. And recently, we've seen just, I think I can say, hundreds of people have let us explain the gospel to them. And we've actually seen quite a few professions of faith, but we haven't seen too many folks come to church. Okay? So we're still having some of the difficulty of getting people to walk past the door. Okay? And that's where that échange culturel, the cultural exchange comes in, where we get to have people come for non-religious reasons into our church building. So the church is growing, the church at Brive-la-Gaillarde. Okay, we'll talk about other things later, but the main work is Brive-la-Gaillarde. And for the first time, it's actually the men of the church that are taking my place during our little short furlough. 2 months is about, I think, all we can handle. So we're going back to France next Sunday. Okay, and while we're gone, the men have been I gave them all the messages. I said, okay, brother, you're going to preach this message, and you're going to preach this message, and this is the Bible studies you're going to do on Tuesday evenings. Okay, so I set it out as easy as I could. And I hope it's not been too painful. We'll find out when I get back next week. But, you know, the purpose of a missionary is to plant the local church, grows, there's converts, they get baptized, and they, you know, join the church, and then the church grows, and the missionary leaves. And that's what missionaries do. Pastors stick around 43 years. Is that what you said? Yeah. But the missionary, he's not supposed to stick around. If the missionary sticks around 40 years, and I've seen that happen, the church gets sick after a while. Okay, they don't know what to do because everything's done by the pastor and the missionary and his wife. Okay? So the missionary is supposed to leave. And so that's what we're working on is to get the church to this place. And that's one of the challenges we have right now is how to deal with the church in these next couple of years so that they're independent and autonomous. It's about three years ago, we started leaving once a month for the weekend. And we go and help ATN at Eugene to try and start a church where he lives. And we made this arrangement with the local church so that we would leave and they would have their French church that week. Okay? So we've been doing a little bit each month for about 3 years. And now we're giving them 2 full months. Okay? And so it's a little difficult. And we aren't doing all the ministries, just the main preaching services and teaching services. We're going to do that. We've done it this year now. We're going to do it next year. We're going to do it the following year. And so we need to be praying for the French people during that time of the missionary's absence. But that's time for them to grow. So our main work is at Brive-la-Gaillarde. And we also have, and you'll see in the pictures in a short bit, a work at Périgueux. Okay, Périgueux is about an hour away to the west. And there, almost all the people are refugees. And there's just, Sophie's the only French person. Okay, that's a lot of times, that's how it works out, is that Sophie's the only French person. Because a lot of times it's the other folks, you know, the other nationalities that come. But most of the folks that come there are refugees. And they fled their country for whatever reason. And so they're asking you to pray for them that they would be received by the French. You know, some of them have been going from country to country for many years now, and they're trying to stabilize. And the one fellow, Andre, he's Ukrainian, and he just did a youth meeting yesterday. We didn't organize that. He organized that. So praise the Lord, you know. We're also working with the three people that have come to help evangelize. We're working on a training program for evangelism to encourage other French people to evangelize. Because since, you know, this time where the pendulum has swung, it's kind of sad if people aren't out there witnessing on the street. We want to help people to be comfortable to get out there and witness on the street. I'll just give you one example, okay? So this is just before we came back. We had done a training session for another church, and we went out on the street and evangelized, and I was with a guy that was older than me, okay? So two older guys, and we end up talking to this girl, I don't know, she was 14, 15 years old, and she was interested. And a couple of other teenagers came over and harassing her and us and trying to get us to stop talking to her, and she stomped her foot and told them to get out of there, and she wanted to hear what these guys had to say. So that gives you an idea. It's a good time to be a missionary in France, okay? So I mentioned our son, Etienne, who just got married, and his wife is from Bernie. So she's from a little town about 3,000 up in the hills of California, and she's gone to live in France with Etienne, who lives up in the mountains, the Alps, a town of about 6,000. So she's gone up in the world, up in elevation and up in population. And so you'll see some pictures about Favre's, Eugene. It's two different towns. He works at Favre's. He lives at Eugene. But when you see the pictures, almost everybody there was either charismatic or Pentecostal. They came to be with us because we were there. Well, they found out that we're not going that way, and now they've all left. So they're just ATN, his wife, and another American guy that come to those meetings. So pray for that group there. And just overall, we need more missionaries in France. Not too many years ago, about 8 years ago, the average age of a missionary in France was 32 years old. Today, it's over 40. Okay? The missionaries are dying, they're retiring, they're just leaving the field, and we need more missionaries. So what challenges are before us is basically, you know, the church is headed towards autonomy. It's a fragile work. It could just die. It could fall apart. You'll recall that when we formed as a church about 3 years ago, then they bought the building, okay? That's big stuff for the French. It wasn't a big, big, big expense. I think it was 35,000 euros or something. It's a little tiny building, okay? But they bought it, okay? And so they have an identity, they have a place, but still, we need to pray that they move forward towards autonomy. As far as the outreach is concerned, when we confront people, a lot of times there's a lack of knowledge. There's always the Catholic culture background. Sometimes we're talking with actual Catholics. You'll see, I'll mention one in the photos. They keep people from trusting in Christ and moving forward with him. There's always the secularism. Once in a while, there's the government, not very often, that causes problems for us, but not very often. And usually we get that fixed up right away, try to anyway. But the main difficulty is that as the government tries to protect people from acts of terrorism, they can't say, oh, we're going to work this way against Islam. They say, oh, we have to work this way against religion. So, you know, a rule against Islam is a rule against everybody, including us. Why don't we just have a public speaking meeting so that we can teach people how to speak in front of other folks? So if they're going to pray, if they're going to read the Bible, if they're going to teach Sunday school, if they're going to, you know, preach the message or lead a song or anything, we have to stand in front of folks. And so Mike is a doctor, and he teaches doctors. And one of the things he teaches doctors is how to talk to other people. Okay, so he took his basic class for doctors and taught that to the people at the church. Then these last 3 years, we've had this échange culturel. I have to say it like that because that's how I always say it. But it's cultural exchange. It's just a non-religious way for us to tell folks that we're there. Okay, and say, hi. You know, with Pastor Tim down in San Diego, they'd have that day where they'd, you know, have the games and the hot dogs. And that's the same type of thing. Okay? And so the first time was a church from Delaware. And so they did basketball and English and some crafts. And then we did it this second year, a church from Oregon, and we did a concert, film, English, basketball, volleyball, and so on. And that's a teen afternoon on the other picture. And then this year, we didn't have any Americans. We did it on our own. And so we focused mostly on the crafts. You can see, by the way, the wall is straight, but it's because I stuck pictures together. It looks wobbly there. But different people in the church have different talents, and so we just put those talents forward. And like I said earlier, Mr. Vonzo, who met us at the train station when we first went there to work with Gene Mumford, he's the man that came and preached the services in our cultural exchange. And this is our three evangelists. There's Anne-Sophie with her baby, her husband Pierre, and then their friend Arthur, who've come in order to evangelize. So Anne-Sophie, Pierre, and Arthur, they ask for you to pray for them in their ministry. And this is them out at Périgueux on the street talking to people. That's Anne-Sophie. Pierre has the backpack on. This is Arthur talking to a lady on the bench. Now, she said she didn't want to hear anything. And he said, well, maybe I could just share one thought. So she said, okay, John 3:16, you know. And this is like 45 minutes later, okay, because she became interested very quickly. And this is one of the training times where we invited the young people from the different Baptist churches in France to come together in order to learn how to evangelize. In the course of someone gets saved, then they want to be baptized. And so this is not our home. We took this picture from here, and this is not our home either. But Périgueux is in a region of France. It's called the region with 1,000 castles. Okay, so we thought we'd throw a couple of castles in for you to see. You probably know it more by the paintings, you know, where there's the cows with the longhorns painted on the walls. Okay, that's the same region. Okay. And so this is a conference that we had at that town called Périgueux. And this is our, okay, you remember we started out at Périgueux. We were meeting at a cafe, okay? We met in the downstairs or the terrace or whatever. Now we rented a room. And so the two ladies on the outside are Iranian, and everybody on the inside is Ukrainian. So that's the two countries that are always in the news, right, besides Israel. Right? And there's Sophie, the only French person. Okay? But next to Sophie is Vlad with the glasses on. Okay? And so the church at Brive took offerings in order to send Vlad and his brother Victor to youth camp this summer. And Vlad accepted Christ, and he wants to be baptized. Oh, I forgot to say, these are the people, I said earlier, they ask you to pray that they be accepted, no longer refugee status, but become, you know, residents of France. We're thinking about another town called Sarlat. It's about 45 minutes away. So pray about that. Should we open up a ministry there or not? This is a Bible study we have on Mondays. And so the two men standing are Scottish. But the lady there is a French lady. She came for about a year. And then she finally decided, no, I only want to pray to Mary. Well, that was the end of it. She hasn't come back. She didn't answer our emails or anything. This is the Alps. And so you see the Lake Geneva. Geneva down at the bottom of the Lake Geneva, and go down a little farther, and there's this little here that might work. Let me try. Is there? Yeah, that little lake there is the lake that you see a picture of on the side. It's about 30 miles long. Okay, it's a pretty big lake. Okay, and that's where Etienne lives up there in the Alps. This is Sophie and me, and let me take that little thing. Etienne lives right about over here. Okay, and this was the group of people that were meeting together there, but now it's it's kind of dispersed. And then once a month, we do a ladies' Bible study for these ladies at another town called Souillac. And that verse says, yes. So it's amazing what God can do. N'est-ce pas? Right?
I don't know if you figured it out during his presentation, but he is all over the place with the gospel. Did you notice that? Here and there and in this and in that. And he is a sower. He is a sower. And he's not been much of a reaper. He's reaped some. In the later years, it's been more encouraging. But it's the sowing that matters. If the sowing is not done, the reaping never happens. And what happens in the future, I told him years ago when he was really on hard times, sowing for months and nobody gets saved. and months and months and just sewing thousands of pieces of literature all over the place and setting up booths and presenting the gospel and nothing happening. And I told him, you know, the problem is we sow, but we have no earthly idea what God's going to do with this in years to come. God can take one person out of that whole failure, it's thousands of people. You have no idea what you're doing. You have to go where God wants you, and then you've got to do the most with what God gives you. Is that correct?